Second Peter, chapter 1. It's been a blessing to be able to study through some of these books of the Bible, and to just kind of try to help us. You understand that the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? And so. You know, we do need to study the Bible. We do need to go line by line, precept by precept. With that said, please stand if you're able to, out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we are in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. I'll read. You follow along silently here. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. You understand that as Saul, if you will, stirred up the church, right? That was for a reason. Because in Acts 1, God told them to go be witnesses, right? In Jerusalem, which they were doing magnificently. Okay? Judea, which they were kind of doing. Samaria, they were kind of doing. Uttermost part of the earth, not really, right? Yet. So that persecution came to kind of kick the embers, you know, kick the fire so that it would spread. And so we understand that that happened and the gospel was being taken all over the place. Now, naturally, you understand that at the time that Pentecost happened and Peter preached and all those people were saved, 3,000, 5,000, 8,000 multiplied multitudes, okay? These were people that were there for the most part. Now, Jerusalem did have a pretty good contingent of citizens, right? Okay? But for the most part, these were Jews from all over the world. They had come and gathered together in Jerusalem for the Passover, for a special purpose. They got saved. They loved it so much, they stayed a while. That's why people had to sell their lands and things to take care of these people. You understand that, right? So that's, we're talking about the book of Acts, all these things that were happening. And finally now, God made them a little bit uncomfortable to get them to go back home. To get them to go to Bithynia and all these different places in Asia where they were from, so that the word of God could be spread across the world as God wanted it to be. Okay, so God was doing something in their lives. He was doing something in their hearts. He wanted them to go out and to accomplish this work that he had for them to do. He had given them this like precious faith through Jesus Christ And they had grown. They had been discipled. We know that the word of God grew and multiplied. The church grew and multiplied. They were learning things. That there was revival. You know, there was all this stuff going on. You understand that things were great. And God wanted that taken to other parts of the world. And so he sent them out. And he had given them all things that they needed for life and godliness. And he wanted them to add to it. And so he gave things like these letters. The letters that Paul wrote to the churches. The letters that Peter wrote to the churches. And that John wrote to the churches. They had these as encouragement. To continue the work. To continue to spread the gospel everywhere that they went. And look at verse 8. He wanted them to abound. He wanted them to be productive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to live in this liberty that God had given them through his Son. And to flourish, right, in this liberty. Not for their own personal gain, but for the gain of the kingdom of God. And so all of these things were intact. That brings us down through verse 9. Because the danger is, in our human lives, to forget. The danger is for us to go back, or to slide back. We were just talking about that. I made Mrs. Wolverton backslide today. I was sitting in her spot, and she had to move back a few. So, it's my fault. But that's a danger. Because guys, I know schools are starting again, right? We're like electrons. We take the path of least resistance. That's our natural state. Okay, that's what we as human beings like to do. Okay, these boys are at football camp, right? They think it's fun to hit people, but they don't want to get hit, right? So as the running back or as the quarterback or the receiver, if they see a guy coming to try to hit them, they're going to try to avoid that, right? Because they don't want that collision. Now the other guy's like, I want that guy, you know. So that's our human nature. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. This is a battle that we're in all the time. And it's our forgetfulness of the things of God and the goodness of God that causes these problems. That old man raises himself up again and needs to be crucified over and over again, if you will. Now, look at verse 9. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. All right. So then Peter says this. Wherefore the rather, brethren. Okay. So what's he trying to say? I don't want that to happen. Okay. I don't want you to be blind and unfruitful and forgetting about your old sins and the old nature. I want you to do something different, right? He said, I would the rather, brethren. Everybody understands that comment, that statement that he makes. He said, I'd rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So that statement is an interesting statement. Now, he's not saying get saved over and over and over again. Okay? But here's what he's saying. If you look at the wording, what he's trying to get across, he wants us to be confident, to be continually confident, to be diligent in who and what we are in Jesus Christ. Okay, does everybody understand that that's what we're talking about here? So he's saying that when we make our calling and election sure, we're not questioning God saying, God, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? I want to be sure I'm saved. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about standing confidently in our salvation. It is settled. It is done. We are sure about it. We are confident about it. We can take a stand the darts of the devil, because we are standing, as I mentioned two Wednesdays ago, I have to speak in skipping a week because I skipped a week, if you will. And as those fiery darts come upon us, and those that shield of what? Faith protects us from those darts. Because we're doing all to stand and withstand in the evil day, because my confidence is not in me. So why does he say that we need to give diligence to make our calling and election sure? Because the devil is going to be diligent about attacking you about your salvation on a daily basis. He's going to bring up all those old sins, right? He's going to bring up all those things. He's going to make you forget the goodness of God. He's going to make you forget the things that he's taught you. Forget the like precious faith, and forget the adding to the faith virtue and virtue knowledge and all these things. He doesn't want you to stand against him. So we have to be diligent and sure-footed in our faith. Day by day by day by day. So Peter is encouraging these Christians. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren. So in other words, don't be blind. Don't forget that you were purged from your old sins. Don't forget that you were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that Jesus has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. Don't forget that they are remembered no more. Don't forget that it is not of your merit, but of the merit of our precious and perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has saved you. I would the rather that you give diligence to remind yourself of what you have and stand in it, because that's how you're going to be abundant and successful and fruitful. Because the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is what gets us through. Do you understand that? That without Christ, I have nothing. Not only do I not have salvation, but I have no hope. But in Christ, I have salvation, and I have hope. And I have confidence. And I have what I need to be able to stand, to be sure. How many of you enjoy having something as far as a home that has a sure foundation? Right? How many of you would like to live in a house that did not have a sure foundation? No thanks. Okay? 2 years ago, we were on the men's camp out. Okay? And it got a little windy. All right? I had a sure foundation. I was in a camper. You know what? I was pretty comfortable. Brother Burkett was in a tent. Two of his poles broke. All right? Because his foundation wasn't sure. When the winds blew, the tent went like this. Okay? And he went... I got to quit smoking. Cut back. All right. No. We shouldn't want to go through life like that. Sure foundations are comforting, right? Because there's the support there. And so he wants us, he's not saying, if you will, make sure you're saved. He's saying, make sure you know that your salvation is what you can stand on. He said, I don't want you to be blind. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to go back. I want you to make sure that, and be, folks, please understand what Peter's trying to say. Be diligent about it. If you're not diligent about it, the devil's going to get an advantage over you. You say, Pastor, why are you so worked up about this or concerned about this? Because I've watched people, if you will, forget how valuable their salvation was. And now they don't even believe there's a God. Brother Abe Che, it's funny. Who was it that said they loved the preaching because the old preachers were there? Yeah, you. Okay, this kid. half of the preachers that preached this last week, when I was a student teacher in Bible college, I was teaching them. So what does that make me? Brother Abe was in my class. It was a 10th grade class. I was supposed to help them make up a thing. We were reminiscing, but anyways, yeah. So he was, you know, he must have been 10th grade. What's 10th grade? About 16, 17 years old there. And but anyways, we were talking. He preached a message, great message, almost atheist. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. If we're not diligent about this thing of remembering our salvation, why do you think God instituted something called the Lord's Supper? Do this in remembrance of me. Because we need to remember. And by the way, how soon do we forget what God has done for us? It's so funny, you mentioned what you mentioned before church. We focus on the negative so much. We really do. I mean, just God forbid I say this. Just watch the news for 10 minutes. Negative, 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 negative. I mean, that's all it is. That's why I don't watch it anymore. Make your calling and election sure. Stand in this faith. Stand in your Savior. Listen to what he says. He gives the answer here in verse 10. For if ye do these things, if you make your calling and election sure, you shall never fall. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Not because of you, not because you're something special, not because you did something extraordinary, but because you remember that God did something extraordinary. And that's what he's encouraging these Christians. Remember, being scattered out into the world to accomplish his great task of preaching the gospel to every creature and being a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world is a daunting thing. And let me just tell you, church, there have been, if you will, better Christians than you and I that have been shipwrecked. Please understand that. What's keeping us from being shipwrecked? So we've got to give attention to this. We must be giving diligence to make our calling and election sure so that we do not fall. You understand that Paul's, one of his greatest fears was that when he had preached to others, that he himself would be a castaway. We've got to make this thing a sure thing. And listen, what kind of servants would we be of God if we were not confident in our King? If we were not confident in our God. It's His kingdom, folks, that we're servants of. And we've got to have this confidence in Him. Now, I got a few verses here I want to read. I'm only on point number one. This is not fair. I haven't really been able to preach. I've been taking in preaching, so I want to give it out, but I'm running out of time. So, if you want to, we're going to have an invitation here in about 4 minutes. If you want to stay for the second service, you can. amen. All right, 1 Corinthians, this is what Paul says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both of Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now that really sums up what Peter is saying here. And you understand that, again, Paul and Peter are working together here, right? Peter's trying to strengthen that which Paul taught. Paul, of course, is strengthening that which Peter taught because these are things that God taught them. And we need to understand that this is important in our lives. Our spiritual calling is important. God has called us unto salvation. You understand that God is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. That's a truth. Not everyone answers the call of salvation in their lives, folks. You did. At one time in your life, you answered the call of God to salvation. Make your calling and election sure. Be diligent to make it sure. Because if you don't, you could slide back. If you don't, you could be, if you will, spiritually blinded, forgetting that you've been purged from your old sins. There's that opportunity. If you don't make it sure, you might fall. Because he said, if you make your calling and election sure, if you give diligence to make your calling and election sure, ye shall never fall. So how do we not fall? We make our calling and election sure. We're sure and confident in Jesus Christ. We remind ourselves, maybe each day when we get up, that we don't deserve salvation. And that Jesus Christ has saved us, and I need to serve the King today. Be diligent. Because guess what? The day that you don't do that, what might you do? Stumble and fall. That's what happens. Coach, you'd appreciate this. I'm going to throw a lot of illustrations in here tonight. But I appreciate Coach so much. He helped the boys with their footwork. And every time we went to practice the fundamental things, and he would tell them over and over again that when you don't do these things, you might get bowled over. Because that's the other guy's trying to get an advantage over you. So if you're not sure in your footwork and you come off that line and if you don't sit that backside down and get your arms up like you're supposed to and push and drive forward, you're going to get driven back. And he drilled that into those boys because he wants it to become a natural thing. You know what that is? Giving diligence. Giving diligence. And that's what Peter's encouraging these Christians to do. He said, guys, don't let a day go by that you don't do this. Don't let a day go by that these things aren't in remembrance. Because they have to be, otherwise you may fall. He didn't want to see any Christian fall. He didn't want to see any brother or sister backslide or be of none effect or of shipwreck. He wanted them to be abundant and successful. Now look at verse 11. This is an interesting phrase. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. By the way, just so you know, I have 6 more passages of scripture to read about our calling and election. Study it on your own. All right, look at verse 11. There's a colon at the end of the word fall in verse 10. Then he says this, four. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's an interesting statement. Okay? So, salvation gives us that entrance into heaven. Everybody understand that, right? So what is he talking about with this particular statement? Well, if you study the times, the days and times of that information, the history, and you look at who Peter was writing to, right? Who was ruling during that time of history? Rome. Okay? What do these people know about in these different areas of Asia Minor? They know about the customs of Rome. Okay? So this is interesting. This statement in verse 11, the entrance that shall be ministered unto you abundantly, refers to the practice of the conquering Roman soldier as they came home to stand before the Caesar, right? Before the rulers and before the leaders of the thing. Thousands of people would line up at the entrance of the city as they approached the place where the king waited to reward them. Okay, so maybe the centurion or maybe a particular soldier that had received, you know, a commendation for merit in battle and whatnot. But this was that thing. They cheered and gave him flowers and gifts as they approached. Okay, so it's this celebration. Now, by the way, because of that colon, verse 11 is attached to verse 10. You understand that, okay? It's not a period. It's not a separate thought. It's a continuing thought. So if we pay attention to verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, in other words, not verse 9, brothers and sisters in Christ, what I'm about to say is what I want for you, that we give diligence to make our calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. By the way, if you fall in battle, if you will, right, or fail in battle, is there going to be this amazing celebration? No. Now, your side may still win, and there'll be a celebration for your side, but you won't be there. Does that make sense, kind of, in a way? Okay, now, all I'm trying to say is this. These are linked together. So, similarly, there is a day of rewarding and rejoicing when the faithful Christian gets home to heaven. You understand that, right? The judgment seat of Christ is coming. And just like the parable, now, we'll be saved, right? That's not in question. We're not talking about that. But do you understand there's going to either be a well done or not? There's going to be this kind of a coronation type thing where there's this throwing of the flowers and this triumphant entry, if you will, or there's not. We're going to be able to rejoice with our Lord, or we're not. Okay? So it's just that simple that we've got to understand that this is and should be and can be a glorious thing if we endure. We're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, not as a bad soldier. A good soldier receives the reward, right? A bad soldier doesn't. It's just kind of how that works, right? So you understand that what he's talking about, he's not talking about getting to heaven. He's talking about the rewards. He's talking about the judgment seat. He's talking about the things that we're going to experience. And by the way, he wants us to experience them abundantly. Not minimally, abundantly. Okay? When these things would happen in ancient Rome, you need to understand that everybody was there. And there's just the crowds and crowds of people. By the way, I've had the privilege of visiting the city of Rome twice. An amazing place. Now, part of it was so spooky and wicked that it just gave me chill bumps. But the Vatican and all that, you understand that. But the history, oh my goodness. How many of you, anybody been to Rome? A few of you. Pretty amazing, isn't it? All the Colosseum and all that stuff. And just amazing. But I can imagine all the parades and all the things as these soldiers came marching in to the city and just, it was abundant. You know, there was just the flowers, the things and like a parade. So you understand that that's exactly what he's talking about. God has called us to abundance. He has not called us, if you will, to non-abundance or dearth, if you will. He wants us to have this grand thing. By the way, the master in the parable that we've talked about recently, with the 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, he wanted to bestow a commendation upon his servants. Because if his servants flourished, that means he was flourishing. You understand that, right? So God and his kingdom want to flourish, and he wants his servants to flourish, and he wants them to do it abundantly. So this verse 11 speaks of this reward, and this rich reward that God wants to bestow upon us if we do not fall. And if we do not fall, it's because we were diligent to make our calling and election sure. You see how the domino effect takes place here. These things are all linked together, these 3 things. So, I'm not going to get to verse 12. I wanted to get to verse 12 today, but we're not going to get there. But let me say some things about this rejoicing as God greets us, if you will, into heaven. Think about this in Matthew 25, when Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. And in prison, ye came unto me. And the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You understand that God wants to reward and bless his servants, those that have been faithful. Remember, he's a righteous judge. So there will be commendations given out, and there will be condemnations given out. It's going to happen. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes and says, We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. What is that? What is we faint not? Being diligent. We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What did Jesus say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These are the things that we need to give diligence to. We need to understand them. And Peter was speaking in terms that these people understood so that they would continue their race. They would continue diligently, not letting down their guard. And let me just say, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so easy to let our guard down. We cannot afford to. Because the moment we do, the devil's going to sucker punch you. These boys were at football camp. The moment they let their guard down in that battle, that football game, is the moment they get overtaken and someone scores a touchdown or someone gets away or someone creates a fumble or does something. Yeah, because they didn't stay diligent. They didn't have that conviction and that sureness. Let's say they were all these things that Coach was telling the boys was coming to my mind on the sidelines. One of them was Oliver and Ian played on the same team, and the coach put them at defensive end, one on each end. He had two Combs boys on the ends, and they just wreaked havoc in the backfield, which is what they're supposed to do. But the thing that was most important that was ringing in my minds, and I hope was ringing in their minds, is those defensive ends are supposed to contain. They're not supposed to let the offensive players get outside of them. And they have to, in order to do that, they have to be diligent. And for the most part, they did that. And we've got to do that in our lives. We've got to be diligent about what we're doing. And if you will, why we're doing it. Now, by the way, are we doing it to receive that great parade one day? No. We're doing it to please our Lord. And He wants to abundantly bestow upon us this grand entrance, if you will, into heaven. Think about this. If you stumble your way into heaven, if you will, you understand what I'm saying by that. As the Bible says in Jude, right? Some are saved as by fire, okay? In other words, you're born again, but you don't have anything to show. How is that entrance going to be if you just stumble on into heaven? It's not going to be so grand, is it? But it should be grand. It should be that grand entrance because of our Savior. He's grand. He deserves it. And we need to make sure that we're making our calling and election sure because of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His kingdom. We're just the soldiers. We're just the servants. And we need to do our very best not to forget these things, not to be blind, to rather give diligence, make our calling and election sure, and serve our Savior with all that we have. And as one of the preachers said, be all in. Give Him everything, every day, all the time.